Worship service. Just a few announcements before we begin. Wednesday evening this week, we have a meeting here in the church hall, 8 o'clock, and the speaker is Callum Webster of the Christian Institute, and he'll be speaking about the work of the Christian Institute in Northern Ireland and further afield. Then next Thursday, our Sabbath school classes resume, and they're at 11 o'clock. And then worship services at 12 and at 7:30, meeting here in the church hall. Those are the announcements I want to mention. We'll commence our worship, joining together in prayer. And so if you're able, please stand now as we pray. Lord God in heaven, we return thanks for this Lord's Day. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together now in our evening worship. And we ask, O Lord, for your help as we do so. We give thanks for those who are gathered here in the church hall, for those who are outside in the cars. And we remember also those who will be listening at home at a later stage. And we give thanks, Lord, for the freedom that you grant us to gather together for the worship of God. We thank you for the health that you've given us in these days. We pray, O Lord, that you'll help us to appreciate the good gifts that you send to us day after day. We thank you for that that salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that you help us, Lord, to see that as the greatest treasure that we can have. We pray that you'll be with us now this evening. We thank you for the scriptures that we can read, for the things that are there in your word that we can think about. We give thanks, Lord, for the people that we read of in the scriptures, people of all sorts of different personalities and backgrounds. And we thank you, O Lord, that you have a role for all to play within the life of your church. We ask, Lord, for your help now. We pray for the work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. We pray that your word will accomplish its good purpose, and we pray that you would remember us, O Lord, in our needs this evening. We pray all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we read together from God's word. I want to read from the book of Acts from chapter 19, and also in Philippians chapter 2. I was speaking to the children this morning and referring to Paul's ministry in Ephesus, recorded in Acts chapter 19, and I want to read some verses that relate to that time, telling us about the things that God did. Acts chapter 19, reading from verse 8. Through to verse 22 in our Pew Bible, page number is 986. So reading first of all in Acts 19, and then also a few verses in Philippians chapter 2. Let us hear the word of God. Acts 19 at verse 8. And this refers to the Apostle Paul. It says, "And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches.' Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a time. And then turning over to Paul's letter to the Philippians, we were reading earlier today in chapter 3. I want to read a few verses in Philippians chapter 2, from verse 19 through to 24. This is page 1043 in our Pew Bible. Philippians 2 at verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. For you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. And we end our scripture readings there at that verse in Philippians chapter 2. Well, I've been speaking at our evening services the last couple of weeks on the New Testament character Timothy. And so far we've looked at Timothy's childhood, how he was brought up in a home where he had an unbelieving Gentile father, but he had a believing mother of Jewish background, and he also had a believing grandmother. And we've looked at the time from his conversion, probably when he heard the Apostle Paul preaching the gospel in his hometown of Lystra. And Timothy was converted. And then, certainly no more than a couple of years later, when Paul and Silas were there on the second missionary journey that Paul took, Timothy had advanced so well in the Christian faith that Paul and Silas took Timothy with them on their missionary journey. He was probably only about 18 years old, but he had already progressed in the faith. He was such a devoted and serious Christian that he was someone that the Apostle Paul felt would be up to the job of going on this missionary journey and assisting Paul and Silas in their work. Now, this evening, I want to think about Timothy's role in the New Testament church as Paul's assistant. I want to think about the times when Timothy was there with Paul. God willing, next time I'll speak about the times when Paul sent Timothy to work on his own. But for now, I want to think about the times when Timothy was there in the company of the Apostle Paul, serving as his assistant. I think there's about 16 years of the life of Paul during which Timothy was often with him. And those years were very eventful years. They were years that were full of ups and downs, full of triumphs and disasters, full of good days and bad days. And Timothy experienced a wealth and a variety of things that served to train him up in the work that God had for him to do. I want to speak this evening about assisting Paul the missionary, and then more briefly about assisting Paul the prisoner, and then thirdly assisting Paul the letter writer. So mainly speaking about assisting Paul the missionary. When he was about 18 years old, Timothy left his family. He left his home, left his hometown of Lystra. He left his home church in Lystra, and he headed off, not knowing where he was going. He headed off in the company of the Apostle Paul and Silas, or Silvanus. And this was on a missionary journey. Things began well on that missionary journey. It's recorded for us in the book of Acts. And if you turn to the book of Acts, this time is covered from chapter 16, verse 4. Timothy goes off with Paul and Silas. They go through various places, and things get off to an encouraging start. We're told in verse 5 that the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. So that would have been encouraging for Timothy. Here he was off in this new adventure, and he went to different places, and everywhere he went, there was the building up of the churches in those places. But soon there were things that would test whether Timothy was really up to this task. As early as verse 6 of chapter 16, we're told that they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And then in verse 7, we're told they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Now that would surely have been something that would have shaken Timothy's confidence a bit. Probably this wasn't the kind of thing that he was expecting. He probably imagined that the Apostle Paul was so in tune with the mind of God that he would always know where to go next, and that there wouldn't be any kind of problems and delays like he experienced here. And if Timothy had any second thoughts about this being a missionary assistant business, well, this was his opportunity to go back home. He hadn't gone too far yet. And he could see that even for an apostle, there were times when there was uncertainty about what way to go. But Timothy didn't head home. Timothy stayed with Paul and Silas. And soon we're told about how God sent the vision of a man of Macedonia asking for help. And that's where they set sail for. And in the story, as it's recorded in Acts 16, in verse 8, it says, they came down to Troas, but in verse 10, the word that's used is, we sought to go on to Macedonia. And that tells us that that Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, has joined Paul and Silas and Timothy. And so the four of them end up in the city of Philippi. And there, again, in that city, they see very clearly the Spirit of God at work. They have the joy of seeing a lady called Lydia become a Christian. Acts 16, verse 14, and it says that the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And others, too, in Philippi become Christians. And this was great for Timothy to see. This was thoroughly encouraging for him. This was what he wanted to see. This is what he believed in. But then it wasn't long before Paul and Silas were in serious trouble. And in Philippi, they were severely flogged, and they were thrown into prison. And that was a clear warning to Timothy that he'd better watch out, because if he was with these men, then he would soon be receiving the kind of treatment that they were receiving. And again, it was an opportunity for Timothy to have second thoughts. If he thought maybe this wasn't for him, well, here was a very clear warning to him and an opportunity to turn back. But again, he doesn't turn back. And from Philippi, the four men go on to Thessalonica. And that's what you have in Acts, at the start of Acts chapter 17. In the city of Thessalonica, there are quite a lot of converts that are made. But then they need to move on because of opposition. And they go to a place called Berea. And again, in that place, they see many believing in Christ. But Paul is sent away because his life is in danger. And Timothy and Silas join up with Paul later then in the city of Athens. And in Athens, they experience much indifference to the gospel. Many of the people of Athens were too sophisticated for the Christian gospel. It was beneath them. They thought they were far too educated to believe simple little stories like the story of Jesus. Then the next place we find Paul and Silas and Timothy working together is in the city of Corinth, Acts chapter 18. And they stay in Corinth for a year and a half. And Corinth was the first time when they were free to choose for themselves when they would leave. And in their ministry in Corinth, they had the joy of seeing many believe, be baptized, and added to the church. And there was also strong opposition to the Christian gospel. Now, at the beginning of Paul's time in Corinth, he worked as a tent maker to support himself. But whenever Timothy and Silas came from Macedonia, they brought a gift from the Macedonian churches, and Paul was enabled to give himself fully to the preaching of the gospel. And Timothy proved to be a useful assistant and servant to the Apostle Paul in all of this. Through the things that Timothy was able to do, Paul was able to devote himself to the preaching of the gospel. But Timothy wasn't just some sort of gopher that did all the little bits and pieces and all the menial tasks so that Paul could get on with being an apostle. Timothy himself was part of the preaching team there in the city of Corinth. I imagine you're probably thinking of 2 Corinthians 1 verse 19, where it refers to how Timothy preached along with Paul and Silas. It refers there to Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy. Well, having listened to the preaching of Paul and Barnabas and Silas, Timothy came to the stage where he himself began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he wasn't a silent assistant who was just a sort of an administrative man. He was also someone who was able to speak the word of the Lord and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we see Timothy's development. By the time he's there in Corinth, he does his turn at the preaching of God's word. And so all of these times in the company of Paul and Silas were learning times for Timothy. He was learning a lot about what it was like to serve the Lord. He saw clearly that time and time again it was something that provoked opposition. But he also saw that people's lives were changed by the message of the gospel. And so Timothy had much valuable experience in that missionary journey. But all the missionary journeys in the Bible come to an end at some stage. And this journey came to an end. And Paul returned to his home church in Antioch. And he spent some time there in Antioch. And so what was to become of Timothy? Would Timothy continue to serve in some way as an assistant of the Apostle Paul? The next time Paul set out on a missionary journey, would Timothy be a part of that journey, or would once be enough for him? You know how in life there's places that you would like to see, and when you've seen them, you think, well, I'll probably not go back again. Well, Timothy could have thought that about a missionary journey. There was so much in that first missionary journey that he could have settled for that and thought, well, that'll do me. The story of the third missionary journey begins in the book of Acts at in chapter 18 at verse 23. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul departs, goes over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. No mention of Timothy. Paul then goes on to Ephesus, and he spends 3 years in the city of Ephesus. And in what Luke tells us in the book of Acts about that ministry in Ephesus, the spotlight is very much on Paul. For example, verses 11 and 12, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. God did amazing things through the Apostle Paul in Ephesus. And Luke tells us about the very public acts of repentance of those who were converted. We're thinking this morning about those who had practiced magic and how they brought their books together, and there was this great fire of all these books all being burnt so that they'd never be used again. And these were the kind of things that were happening in Ephesus. A great work of God was being done, but Timothy doesn't get mentioned. But in verse 22 of Acts 19, we're finally told that Paul sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus. Well, he couldn't have sent Timothy if Timothy hadn't been with him. So Timothy must have been with the Apostle Paul there in Ephesus. Timothy was to join up with Paul again after he had done what he was sent to do. Timothy is mentioned along with several other men who did go with the Apostle Paul on his way to Jerusalem, where he wanted to deliver a gift for the relief of uh, the, the poverty-stricken Christians in Jerusalem. Many of them were poverty-stricken because he had persecuted them severely, and he sought to help them. Acts 20, verse 4, it says that Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. So from all of these things that were told in the book of Acts about Paul's missionary journeys, it seems clear that there are times when Timothy is with Paul, but Timothy doesn't get mentioned by name as such. And there are other men, other servants in the scriptures who are the same. They're there. But they don't get mentioned by name always. The Apostle Paul believed in a team ministry, and we always find him engaged in a team ministry. And he always sought to surround himself with men that he could work with. And of all those that Paul could work with, there was none quite like Timothy. Timothy was his most constant companion. He is always there with Paul. Unless Paul sends him off to do some other task, Timothy will be there with the Apostle Paul. And Paul couldn't have done the things that he did without the help of Timothy and without the help of other more ordinary men. It was a team effort. Paul was the main man. He was the apostle. But there was no better team player than Timothy. And he excelled in that role. And that was a great blessing in the spread of the Christian church. Lance Pearson writes about this, and he says, "For 16 years, he remained Paul's second, giving hidden background support." He says, "Some emerge through apprenticeship to be the next generation of leaders, but not Timothy. He wasn't a pushy, flashy, natural leader, moving out to set up his own evangelistic agency after a 3-year assistant pastorate. He was a natural assistant, and so are plenty of people today. God has designed them to be lifelong assistants, not overall leaders. They're happier, more secure, and more effective following someone else's instructions rather than issuing them themselves." And that's how it was with Timothy. He was most comfortable being Paul's assistant. And the Timothys are much needed within the Christian church. And many of you are able to fulfill those kind of roles. You're able to be useful servants, following the directions and the leadership that others will give you. That's how it was for Timothy. That was his chief usefulness within the cause of the Christian church. Not being the main man, but being that supportive, reliable, willing to do things man who would keep going no matter how hard it was, no matter how many setbacks there were, no matter how many disappointments there were. He started when he was 18 and he stuck the pace. It's a marvelous demonstration of how God in his grace can equip someone when they're young in the faith to be a thoroughly useful servant within his church. So there's much in the scriptures about Timothy assisting Paul the missionary. Timothy did great work as an assistant missionary. But that's not the only way in which we see him as Paul's assistant. We also see him assisting Paul the prisoner. Because Timothy was also Paul's assistant during the times of his captivity. We don't know where Timothy was during all the time that Paul spent as a prisoner. But we do know that Timothy was with him during the 2 years or so that Paul was a prisoner in Rome, awaiting his case to be heard by the emperor. And we know that because Paul includes Timothy's name in several of the letters that he writes during his time of captivity. If you look at the beginning of Colossians, if you look at the beginning of Philippians, look at the beginning of Philemon, you'll see that Timothy is mentioned there at the beginning of the letter. Timothy, therefore, was with Paul. Paul was in prison, and Timothy was there, supporting him in his imprisonment. And that shows his loyalty to the Apostle Paul. Timothy wasn't the kind of man, he wasn't the kind of friend that the prodigal son in the parable had, the kind that disappeared when there was no longer anything in it for them. Timothy was a true friend and companion and assistant to Paul. And when Paul lost his freedom, Timothy didn't go off in search of someone else that he could attach himself onto, but he continued to be an assistant to the Apostle Paul in whatever way he could. So he wasn't just a missionary assistant, but he was an assistant to Paul the prisoner. And then we can also say that he was an assistant to Paul the letter writer. Part of the work that Paul did during his years when he was in prison was writing letters to churches and to individuals. And Timothy is named in those letters, that the letters is not just coming from Paul, but the letter is coming from Timothy also. Who wrote Philippians? If that was a quiz question, the answer would be Paul. But the letter itself says it's from Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Similarly with Colossians 1 verse 1, it's from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. And Philemon, it's Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. And those were letters written from prison. There are other letters that Paul writes, and Timothy is also mentioned as being the letter writer. 2 Corinthians, you look up 2 Corinthians, you'll see at the start, Timothy's mentioned. 2 Corinthians comes from Timothy, as well as Paul. 1 Thessalonians, Timothy is included right at the start. 2 Thessalonians, Timothy is included right there at the start. He wasn't just someone who was with Paul. He is someone who actually has a hand in the writing of the Scriptures. He is mentioned at the beginning of those letters rather than at the end. Sometimes at the end of letters you get people who are sending their greetings. Well, Timothy wasn't just sending his greetings. Timothy was involved in the very writing of letters that are part of the Word of God. The others send greetings, but Timothy is a co-author. And that surely says a great deal about the value that Paul attached to Timothy. Timothy began as a young assistant. Paul believed that this young fellow could be of use to him in his work. But years later, he's much more than just an assistant. He is someone whose opinion, whose views Paul values and takes on board, and he consults with him in the letters that he writes. And we read in Philippians chapter 2 a great tribute to Timothy that Paul gives as he writes from prison to the Philippians. He shows us what he thinks of Timothy. Philippians 2 verse 19, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded. There's no one like him. There's no one who will sincerely care for your state the way Timothy sincerely cares for your state. He says, for all others seek their own things, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But Timothy's different. Paul says, Timothy genuinely seeks the things that are of Christ Jesus. And he says, you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. And that's how Paul looked upon Timothy. He is as a son with his father. Paul is the father, and Timothy is his spiritual son. That's how he refers to him. 1 Timothy 1 verse 2. He's writing to Timothy, and he calls him a true son in the faith. Timothy was a true son in the faith. He served with the Apostle Paul in the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they were like father and son working together in a common cause. And Paul has this great affection and respect for Timothy. And he praises him more than any of his other assistants. So here is this man, Timothy, and he's willing to be an assistant. He's not striving to be the main man. He's not seeking great things for himself. He's not wanting to make a name for himself. He's not looking out for his own interests. He doesn't do things to be seen by others so that they will think highly of him. He wants to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees that Paul truly is an apostle of Christ, and he wants to do all that he can to be of help unto Paul. And the Lord Jesus Christ depends upon willing servants like that within his church in every age. And the Lord is looking out for those who are really concerned for his interests. For those who care about the reputation of Christ and the cause of the gospel. And there is a place for such people always within the cause of Christ. We see in Timothy a great spiritual maturity that God produced in him, even though he was a young man. Timothy was willing to be an assistant, to keep on being an assistant. And he had a heart for that. He wanted to make himself useful for Jesus Christ. And how will you seek to make yourself useful for Jesus Christ in the days of this week? In what ways will you seek to be actively serving the Lord? Will you be available to do whatever he has for you to do? Or will you just be looking out for your own interests, just following your own agenda, just doing the things that you would really like to get done? Timothy left all that behind. He left his own life behind, and he went off, and the Lord used him in all sorts of ways to be an assistant to the great Apostle Paul. Let us learn from this man. And let us seek to have a heart like his, a heart that doesn't seek its own interests, but those of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we'll come to God in prayer now. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the account that we have in the book of Acts of the advance of the gospel. We praise you for the role that Timothy was able to play within that. And we thank you for the different ways in which we see how he was so useful, an assistant to the Apostle Paul and how he stuck with him, even when things weren't all that exciting. We praise you that he was there and he kept going when things were very dangerous. We thank you that he continued to be there in the times of imprisonment, in the times when there wasn't freedom to go and do missionary work. And we thank you, Lord, for what we see of Timothy and what you made of him. And we rejoice, O Lord, in the great, great good that can be done by those who aren't the main people in ventures, but are the vital supporters. And we pray that you help each one of us, O Lord, in the role that you give us to play. We pray that you will teach us to be utterly reliable, as Timothy was reliable. Help us to be those who can be depended upon, those who will stick to the task and do the job, and do it with a view to pleasing Jesus Christ, not thinking of our own reputation, what others may think of us, or what motivation they might ascribe to us. We pray, O God, that spirit of Timothy would be developed within us also. We thank you, Lord, for those who have taught us the gospel. We thank you for how Timothy was taught the good news. And we praise you for those you've used in our lives, those who have instructed us, shown us the things that are good and true, the eternal truths. And we pray that you help us, O Lord, to pass on those good things, just as others pass them on to us. Pray for the work of our missionaries. We pray for the new work in Malaga, in Spain. Pray for the Barracols, that you'll help them, O Lord, in changed times for them. We do pray that they will keep well in the midst of the virus, and with Spain being a country quite badly affected. We pray that they themselves will keep well, and we ask, Lord, that you will guard them in that way. We pray that there'll be encouragements in the work, in the evening services that they have. Be with Isaac as he preaches your word there. And as they're involved with the Baptist Church there, the Reformed Baptist Church in Malaga, we pray that they will be able to be a blessing to those folk. And we pray that will be a relationship and an arrangement that will work well. We pray for our church in Galway. Pray for Peter Jemfrey. Bless him and his work. We pray that he will be encouraged in the gospel there. We pray that you will continue to bring new folk in among them. We pray for those who will be finishing up their time in Galway and going to other parts of the world. And we pray that as a result of the time they spent there, that they would be all the better equipped to serve you in the different parts of the world that they return to. We pray for wisdom for our government in these days in seeking to deal with the ever-changing situation with the pandemic. Give them wisdom, O Lord, in decisions, both at national level and at more local level. Pray also for the negotiations in regard to the relationship with the European Union. We pray that there will be progress made there, that wouldn't be something that would get nowhere. We pray that there will be a decent working arrangement that can be brought about. We pray that businesses will not suffer badly because of the way things will be at the start of next year. Lord, we ask for help for all churches in these days trying to make arrangements for the coming months. We pray for those who are beginning to meet together again for worship, and we pray, Lord, that you will cause these things to go well, that people will be encouraged by how things will work out. We pray for ourselves that you will help us find the best way forward in whatever circumstances we may have to deal with. Pray, Lord, for the ministers' conference due to take place at the end of this month. Pray for the speaker from Preston that he'll be able to come across, and we pray that as men would gather and meet in a different kind of setup from usual, that you will keep us safe and well. Pray that it will be a blessing to men, and that the talks that are given about the vision that the Apostle Paul had and about his thorn in the flesh, that those things will be a real blessing to the ministers that are able to gather for that time of spiritual refreshment. We pray for wisdom for universities and colleges as they look at restarting, and we pray, O God, that that will be something that they'll be able to manage well and wisely, and we pray for those who are entering into a new year of studies, not quite sure exactly how it's all going to work out. We pray, O God, for your help in those situations. We thank you now for today. We thank you for the good things that you've supplied us with. We pray that you will continue to speak to us through your word. Help us to turn to the Bible each day to look for a word from you. Guide and direct us in our thinking. Help us not to just do our own thing, but to seek to be directed by your wisdom, your instruction. Forgive us our sin, Lord. Forgive us for when we're not as thankful as we should be for all that we do have. And we pray that you will increase our spirit of rejoicing and thankfulness in the ordinary things of life. Lord, hear our prayers. We ask all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the psalm we sing in closing our service is 102. It's the A version of Psalm 102. And we sing stanzas that are found on page 240 and 241. Psalm 102, the A version, and we sing from 9 to 14. The psalmist is comparing himself with God, and as for himself, he says, "My days I would compare unto an evening shadow gray, and as for me, just like the grass, I'm withering away. But God is very different. But as for you, Lord, you sit enthroned forever sure, and to the generations all, your fame will still endure. You will arise and pity take on Zion, for it's time to show her favor, for the time appointed now has come." And then it speaks about the attitude of God's servants to the building up of the Lord's church. "Because your servants in her stones a pleasure real they take, and for her very dust they feel a pity for her sake. So will the Gentile nations all the Lord's great name revere, and all the kings upon the earth will your great glory fear. Because the Lord himself indeed will Zion build aright, and then he will appear to all clothed in his glory bright." And these verses speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, and how he will build his cause, bringing in the Gentile nations such as ourselves, and those who appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ, have a love for his church, and the very dust of it is dear unto them. That was the attitude of Timothy. The very dust in the different churches that he served in was dear and precious to him. And God gives that love to those he saves, that they delight in the very little things of his cause. So Psalm 102, the A version, we sing from 9 to 14. The tune is St. Agnes Durham, number 136. Tune 136, we remain seated to sing, and then afterwards I'll close the service in the benediction.
"My days I would compare unto an evening shadow gray, and as vermeil, just like the grass, I'm withering away. Zion for its time to shout favor for the time appointed now has come. Because your servants in her stones a pleasure will they take, and for her very dust they feel a pity for her sake. So will the Gentile nations all the Lord's great name revere, and all the kings upon the earth will your great glory fear. Because the Lord himself indeed will Zion build aright, and then he will appear to all clothed in his glory bright.
Now receive God's blessing. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.